Hey guys, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sydney.
And this is Tales of the Wicked.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Tales of the Wicked. As always, Megan, how are you doing? How's your week been?
It's been actually pretty good. It's been really warm out. I haven't gotten anything done that I wanted to, but it's been nice still.
I saw you and Parker sat outside, enjoyed
Yeah,
the
for
nice
the first
weather.
time in months, I actually went outside. It's pretty good. We
I
enjoyed
left
it.
my house. It was great.
Well, I didn't go that far. I just walked outside.
Hey, that's something.
I just sat on my porch, but you know
That's
what? That's better
something.
than sitting on the couch, so.
That is true. Are you starting to crack the windows open, get the fresh air in the house?
A little bit. Aaron keeps cracking them, and then I'm sick of hearing all the neighbors outside, so I close them.
Oh, well, that's fair. We have been leaving our windows open, and especially at night, we leave the bedroom window open. And it's so like peaceful in the morning when I have to wake up for work, because it's still dark in the room, and then we have like the window cracked open, and all you can hear is just like the birds and stuff chirping. It's a very nice way to wake up in the morning.
I do like that, but whenever we open up our bedroom windows, I have to listen to Aaron the whole next day. Ugh, I have a cold because we left the windows open. I'm like,
Oh
then
my
why did you
gosh.
open the windows? You know that you always get a cold.
Always something with him.
He's so annoying. Anyways.
Gosh. Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, with nice weather, you can't help but to be happy, right?
Sure.
Maybe, kind of. I saw this picture online and it was like, when the weather goes above 60 degrees, and it's like, I'm no longer mentally unstable.
I mean, I live in Ohio, so I'm always going to be mentally unstable, but
Good old
that's okay.
Ohio. Yeah. So this week at work, I had to do a procedure with one of our doctors, and he randomly brought up how whenever he drives to work, he listens to podcasts. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. I was like, what kind of podcast do you like to listen to? And he was like, I'm a really big crime junkie. He's like, I love true crime podcasts. And I was like, are you serious? He's like, oh my gosh, yeah. He's like, they're so great. He's like, right now I'm listening to this like 3-part long podcast. He was like, because I had he has like a 45-minute drive. So he was like, I listen to him like every single morning on my way to work, and then I listen to him on my way home. And then he told me that there's apparently this documentary on Netflix, and I haven't found out which one it is yet. He said that he was gonna tell me the next time that he saw me, he was gonna tell me what it was. But apparently there's some documentary on Netflix where the way that the documentary is laid out, they have just a bunch of like video footage. So like video footage of like where the crime happened from the police cameras, all this different kind of stuff. So like they literally like show you like play by play exactly what happened, and with all of the real footage. And he said that it's like this really great documentary about some kind of crime. He didn't tell me what it was, so he didn't want to spoil it. But I haven't looked it up yet, but I was like, oh, I'll have to tell Megan about that. That'd be something cool that like, once he gives me the title of it, something that we could watch.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Let me know what that is.
I'll have to let you know what it is. But we were like sitting there, patients laying there, like ready for the procedure to start, and we're just like talking back and forth about true crime. And then we like look over and we're like, yeah, we're here to do a job. Like not talk. We should be
Yeah.
doing this right now.
Yeah.
The poor man's just sitting there like any minute now. But I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. Let me know what that is. I'll look into it.
I always like meeting people that like to also listen to true crime.
I just don't like meeting people in general, so I don't have that same experience.
You know me, I like to talk. I like to talk to people,
See, that's
learn
the funny
about
thing is I started a podcast, but I hate talking.
them. What are you doing?
I don't know. See, the point of this was to really bring myself out of my comfort zone, and boy, did I.
Yeah.
I am always uncomfortable.
Oh my gosh.
But it's easier now that I have a co-host to talk to instead of just talking to myself.
Right. You could just make me uncomfortable instead.
And boy, do I.
And boy, do you. Yeah. So speaking of this week, so you had your case last week and I just was like, screw this. I don't even want to read about murder. I do not
care. You were
like
very unwell after that case. Yes,
I was. I was not happy about it whatsoever. So I was like, you know what? Like, I don't even, I like put off doing research for this, for like my case this week until maybe like the last couple days. Cause I was just like, I don't want to look at anything. I don't want to read anything. So kind of like how my afterlife type to the, cause that time you did the Toy Box Killer, which wasn't nearly as bad as this past one you did. But after the Toy Box Killer, I was like, I'm going to do something different and not murder. And I kind of did the same thing this time. So same kind of like format as then, not as interesting, a little bit boring, but my little scared heart needs it. I need a little refresher.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong. I tried to add some like stuff in there that you would like, maybe. We'll see.
I'm sure I'll find it interesting still, so.
Yeah. I mean, I still think it's interesting. People are getting tortured at part of it. I don't know how to describe it. But anyways, did you have anything else to add before we got started?
I was just going to say that actually, as long as everything goes well, because I don't like to just like always say like, oh, this is what I'm doing next week, because you never know like if you're going to have enough information or if it's going to be interesting enough.
Right.
But if it all goes well, I'm going to be doing a topic kind of like this next week too. So.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. I like
maybe
that.
Some conversation, a little bit of history.
Cool. So, I like it.
Yeah. Switch it up a little bit.
Right. So Megan and I's banter today is cut a little bit short. We just have a little couple things that are working against us. So we're just going to kind of jump right into it. So last week, whenever I was having like my little hatred for true crime, I was scrolling through TikTok, and everyone knows I like TikTok. Megan knows I like TikTok. And I have like, I follow true crime accounts, and they basically give like little fun facts about true crime and just different cases, or they'll give you like the overview of a case. And then if I find it interesting, I can go in and look more into it. What sparked my idea for my case or my topic this week, I would just give it a topic more than a case, is I came across a TikTok of a man named Ronnie Lee Gardner.
Okay.
And Ronnie was executed by the firing squad. He was also the last man to be executed by the firing squad. So I thought it was interesting. There wasn't really too much on his life and his crime. It's just kind of like cut and dry. There's not, you know what I mean? It wasn't enough for a whole episode. So I thought before we got into that, we could kind of just talk about briefly, I mean, very, very smallly, talk about the death penalty. And I just have a couple, you know, statistics and stuff that I found and some research on it. And then my little spicy addition to this week is history of execution styles. Is that what you wanted to do?
Not this week, but I was going to get into execution styles. Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, I just listed, I found an article that lists like some of the worst execution styles in history. So like, if you want to do a whole episode on it, you totally can, unless I cover mostly what you wanted to talk about.
Okay. We'll see. Cause yeah, I have a whole episode in mind for this.
Okay. So, just to kind of start it off, the death penalty has existed in America since the colonial times. It was established, the first established death penalty laws date as far back as the 18th century BC in Europe. Methods of execution included boiling, burning at the stake, hanging, and beheading. The death penalty was imposed for many crimes, even minor ones such as pickpocketing, or stealing a loaf of bread. Britain influenced America's use of the death penalty more than any other country. When European settlers came to the New World, they brought the practice of capital punishment, and capital punishment is just another term for the death penalty, The first recorded execution in the new colonies was that of Captain George Kendall in the Jamestown Colony of Virginia in 1608. Kendall was executed for being a spy for the Spanish. So like I said, during my research of the history of the death penalty, I found this article that, you know, listed the top worst execution methods that were used throughout history. And a lot of them on the list date back to what was practiced in Europe. And I just felt like I had to add these in just because I thought that they were really interesting. And I mean, it's honestly more torture than anything. But, you know, it kind of goes along with, you know, what happened to Ronnie Lee Gardner. It sparked a lot of conversation about the death penalty, and it just kind of shows how far it's come. So the first one I have on my list is boiling to death. So it's a slow and agonizing punishment. This method traditionally involved a victim gradually being lowered feet first into boiling oil, water, or wax.
God.
The outer layer of the skin would dissolve off of the body, following by the breakdown of the fat until the bone was exposed.
Ugh.
And if you didn't pass out from the pain in the beginning, you just had to suffer as you continued to be lowered into this, you know, hot oil or water or wax.
That just makes me think of our Great House Fire of 2017 when our kitchen caught on fire.
Yeah.
And Aaron's hand, because it was like a grease fire on our stove, and the oil splashed onto Aaron's hand, and he, like, the whole, you remember how bad it was, like, the whole top of his hand was, like, burnt. And I walk inside, because I went outside to call 911, and I walk back inside, and he put out the fire, or, yeah, I think he put out the fire for the most part, and he is standing in the, like, over the sink, putting his hand in, like, cold water, and he's just, like, chain vaping because he's so stressed out. But then, like, the shock kicked in and he couldn't feel it anymore, but he was like, I know it's bad, I know it's bad. He's just, like, chain vaping because he's so stressed out.
Yeah.
And then later we got to the hospital and I had to watch them, like, pick off his skin. Mm-hmm. And I felt so, I'm like, I'm actually gonna faint. I'm like, this is disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Just like this, I could just picture, like, the smell of burning flesh.
Oh, my nose doesn't work, so I couldn't actually smell anything.
So it didn't matter.
No, but oh god, it was so gross. Mm. I couldn't imagine just being slowly, like, dunked into.
No. And I feel like that one's, god, you know, a pretty calm one compared. So the next one I have on my list is the Blood Eagle, which both of us have watched Midsommar. So we
I love
so
this.
So if you
one,
know where we're
so
going
cool.
This way. Yeah. So for this one, the ribs would be snapped from the spine and forcefully bent backwards until facing outwards from the body, forming a pair of eagle wings. The lungs would then be pulled from the body cavity and coated with salt, causing a death by suffocation. There is question if this execution method has ever actually been practiced or used, or if it's just a part of literature. And also, if the victim didn't pass out from the pain of their ribs being snapped, you know, like, they should have passed out by the pain from the, you know, the lungs being snapped, and they're, like, well before their lungs were touched and drenched in salt, if that makes sense, if I word that correctly.
Yeah.
The next one that I have, which I think is gross, is impalement. So traditionally a stake would be in the ground and the top part of it would be partially sharpened. The victim would then be placed over the spike, and the spike would be inserted through either the rectum or the vagina. As their own body weight dragged them further onto the pole, the wooden stake would force its way through their body, piercing organs and eventually penetrating the entire torso. It would finally tear an exit wound through the skin of the shoulder, neck, or throat. And according to some accounts, it would take the victim up to 8 days to die.
Oh my God.
And it's not like it was like a easy, like, whoop, impaled and then you're done. Like, they let your own weight just drag you down through this stake and let you die.
Ugh. Okay.
That one I was like, ooh, that's gross.
Ouch.
So the next one that I have is hanged, drawn, and quartered. This process starts with the victim being strapped to a wooden panel that was tied and pulled by a horse. This was how the victim would be dragged to their execution site. Next, they would experience a slow hanging in which, instead of, you know, the traditional quick drop that would just break your neck, They would instead be left choking horribly while the rope tore into their skin on their throat. And same thing kind of with like the impalement, their own body weight would be what was dragging them downwards. And because, of course, that's just not enough and we got to keep it going, their stomachs would then be sliced open and their in like their intestines and other major organs would be hacked apart and pulled from their body.
Oh,
and
who
I don't
comes
know.
Up with this?
Yeah, I know. And I don't know if you've ever, you haven't watched American Horror Story, only parts of it, right?
Yeah. I only saw parts of the first season.
Okay, so there's this one season, it's the Roanoke season, where one of the characters, they literally, like, slice his stomach open, and then they hook his intestines with, like, an axe and, like, pull them out, and I literally had to mute my, like, TV as it was happening, because it was just so gross, and I couldn't handle it.
Oh,
and
I
that's kind of,
like, gory shit like that, and, like, movies and TV and stuff.
No, I was, like,
I prefer that
much.
Over, like, horror.
I don't like any of it, really. I watch it, but I don't really like it. The next one I have is rat torture, which this form of torture has been seen in Game of Thrones and then also in a movie that we just saw recently.
I was like, what movie?
A bucket containing live rats is placed on the exposed torso of the victim and heat is applied at the base of the bucket. The rats will then tear and gnaw their way into the abdomen of the victim, clawing and ripping through the skin, flesh, organs, and intestines. It has also been noted that victims were subject to a version of this torture in which live rats or sometimes spiders were inserted through the body via a tube in the rectum or vagina.
Okay, this is the worst one because it has rats and spiders and I hate both of them. I like have the creepy crawlies right now. Oh.
And then the last one that I have is flaying, which is kind of like it sounds if you like flay a fish, which is essentially just skinning someone alive. So they would start at the thighs or the feet and then they would work their way up. Just reading them makes my hands clammy.
Yeah, I'm sweaty.
And that was my little spicy addition to this episode.
Thank you for that.
You can look all, so I'm going to post like the link for the, website that I found all this information from, and they have like drawings of what these sort of things looked like. I also wanted to note that there was a period in history where death was the only punishment for all crimes committed. And then I also wanted to note that when I kind of explain those, I always use the word victim when describing the methods of execution, because honestly it was just torture. You just tortured someone because
I mean, like,
why
you
not?
Stole an apple, so then you're getting a rod shoved up your ass for 8 days
yes.
until you die. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that I would consider them to be a victim, not a criminal.
Right. And I just think, like, when you think about it, it's just like, who? I don't know. Like, are some, like, messed up person that has power is just like, let's experiment. Let's just see what would happen if we did this to them. Let's just see what happened if we did that. Like,
yeah, like, how do you even come up with that?
I don't know. It's really gross, though, but that's how people would die. And a lot of these, all of these that I found have all been done in different countries, not in the United States, I should mention.
Well, yeah, because we weren't around then.
Yeah, right. We were undiscovered land. So today in the United States, the death sentence may only be imposed for crimes in which a victim is killed. But state legislators can determine what specific circumstances make a murder eligible for the death sentence. Today, the death sentence is legal in 27 states, and Ohio, where Megan and I both live, is one of those states. There are some limitations to the death penalty. So juveniles, defendants with mental illness or intellectual disabilities are not allowed to be punished with death. And some issues that follow the death penalty are those of race and gender. So statistically, there's a pattern of racial disparities in death sentences based on the race of the victim as well as the defendant. And then also, women have historically not been subject to the death penalty at the same rate as men. So I found some statistics from the Pew Research Center. And I wanted to kind of share what I found and then also ask you a couple questions, Megan. And this article was published in July of 2021. So the research and the data that was collected is a pretty good representation of what the public thinks today. So to start off, they did their survey throughout the United States with adults, and it was conducted in April of 2021. So if you're comfortable with answering these questions, basically, you know, do you think it's true or false? The first one is, the death penalty is morally wrong even when someone commits a crime like murder.
I'm going to go ahead and say that that's true.
So the flip side of that is, if when someone commits a crime like murder, the death penalty is morally justified. So basically, do you think it's justified or do you not think it's justified?
Oh, I don't know. I'm in the gray area with the death sentence. I think in general, I would say it's not justified to do the death penalty.
Right. I mean, it's kind
in general.
Like it's a very, like, I don't know. I mean, when I hear cases like the one last week, I'm like, yes, death penalty. Absolutely.
See, that's where I vary on it. Like, when there's, like, special cases where people are just absolute fucking monsters, then I'm like, okay, I feel like we're okay. Like, basically anyone that does anything to a kid, I'm ready to fucking kill them, so.
Right, yeah. It's kind of like those things, like, when you think about it, like, you know, that person made the decision to take another person's life. So, like, you know, are we any better by making the decision to take their life? But then, like, they
to
did
me,
such
it all
terrible,
just
heinous,
like,
crimes.
Yeah, when they're, like, so disgusting of a person, like, their crimes are just so, like, terrible. I don't know. I feel like,
Yeah, right. It's kind of like
can
case
die.
To case.
Like, that's
right.
Fine.
It's like a case to case kind of like decision.
Yeah, but honestly, in general, I'm typically against it.
I would agree with that. So the next question is, do you think that the death penalty does or doesn't deter people from committing serious crimes?
Well, I feel like it's not. I don't know. To my knowledge, I feel like it's not that used that often. So people probably don't even think about it.
Right. Which I kind of give like the statistics that this research found after this, but it's not.
I was gonna say maybe back in the day it might have been.
Right.
But now, probably not so much because, like you said, only like 20 states still have it. 20 something?
27.
Yeah.
27 states still have the death penalty, but a lot of the 27 states don't actually, like, act on it or use it.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, I feel like I don't hear about it being used that often, so it probably doesn't deter too many people because they just don't think about it.
Right. And then my last little question is, do you think that there's a risk that innocent people are still being put to death? Or do you think that we have enough, you know, trust and evidence that we're making sure that the people that are being, you know, sentenced to death, you know,
no, I feel like they're absolutely
should be there in some way,
the wrong people to death sometimes.
Yeah,
I mean, the system is pretty corrupt at times depending
right.
on where you are, and
right,
it's even if it wasn't, it still wouldn't be a perfect system all the time, so mistakes
right.
are going to be made. No, they absolutely do put the wrong people to death sometimes. I don't know how often, I haven't looked into it, but I know it
right.
happens.
Yeah. So just kind of, this is me, you know, quoting this article that I read and the research that they found. So more than half of U.S. adults, 56%, say that African-American people are more likely than white people to be sentenced to death for committing similar crimes. About 6 in 10, which is 63%, say the death penalty does not deter people from committing serious crimes. And nearly 8 in 10, which is 78%, say there is some risk that an innocent person will be executed. Republicans or Republican-leaning independents are more likely than Democrats to favor the death penalty in convicted murders. It's a 77% versus a 46%. Those with less formal education are also more often to likely support the death penalty. So around two-thirds of those with a high school diploma or less, which is 68%, favor the death penalty compared to those that have either some sort of college education or a college degree. Which I thought that was interesting that they did the research on that. And like, that's something that they, like, those are numbers that they came up with. Cause I never thought that, you know, whether you have a college degree or not mattered in what you believe on the death penalty.
So they were saying people with college degrees don't agree with the death penalty?
Yeah. So someone who only has, you know, someone with more less formal education or someone who just has a high school diploma or even less, like a GED, they're more likely to favor the death penalty.
Well, I mean, that came true in our sense because I don't know. I vary with the death penalty, but I also don't have a college degree. So,
yeah, but I feel like you can't fault someone for not, you know what I mean? But I mean, they're obviously
it's just interesting.
From an education standpoint. Yeah, it is interesting because I would have never thought to think of, you know, factor that into my research.
Yeah.
The majorities of white, Asian, and Hispanic adults support the death penalty, but Black adults are evenly divided with 49% in favor and 49% opposed. And then nationally, 17 people were put to death in 2020. That was the fewest since 1991, and it was far below the peak of 98 people in 1999. So it's definitely not being used nearly as frequently as it had in the past.
Yeah.
So that kind of brings us to the case of Ronnie Lee Gardner. So Ronnie was the last inmate on death row to be executed by the firing squad. He was known to have a troubled life married by theft, drugs, sexual abuse, and violence. He had been in and out of jail almost his entire life, and it was a place that he was, quote, very comfortable with. On April 2nd, 1985, 24-year-old Ronnie Lee Gardner was at a hearing in the Metropolitan Hall of Justice in Salt Lake City for the second-degree murder charge of killing, and I'm going to apologize with me saying some of these names, Melvin Otterstorm. Melvin was a bartender that Ronnie had shot and killed during a robbery gone wrong. While at the courthouse, Ronnie and a partner of his, Karma Hainsworth, made a plan for him to escape. While walking into the courthouse, Karma had slipped a gun into Ronnie's either hands or pants. I saw different like sources say different things. But immediately after it happened, the officers had yelled out that he had had a gun. And sources say, you know, this varies as well. Some sources say that Ronnie was then shot in the shoulder by an officer, but then another source says that he was shot in the lung. I'm personally going to go with the shoulder because I feel like if you got shot in the lung, like that's going to put you down, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think? Which that is not what is what happens at all. So attempting to escape, Ronnie then entered the archives room where he shot and killed Michael Burdell, who was hiding behind the door. Ronnie also shot and wounded another person, George Nick Kirk, during his escape. And George's family says that he then later died 11 years later as a result of his injuries from that wound that he had. Ronnie was successful in escaping the courthouse. However, once getting outside, he was greeted with half a dozen of policemen that had their weapons drawn. Ronnie threw his gun down and surrendered. And then I looked up, I saw pictures. So one thing that they comment on with Ronnie is there's a picture of him kind of like in handcuffs on the ground. You see the blood coming out of his, you know, outfit that he had on from being shot by the officer. And he has like a smirk and a smile on his face. So he did not care at all.
Yeah.
Ronnie was sentenced to death for the killing of the attorney Michael Burdell during his attempt to escape from the courthouse that day. He had requested that he wanted to be executed by the firing squad, saying that he had lived by the gun and he was going to die by the gun. So that brings us to June 18th, 2010. It's a Friday morning and Ronnie Lee Gardner is in the death chamber strapped to the execution chair. He had restraints around his wrists, ankles, shoulders, and waist, and then had one across his forehead. Witnesses say that he was completely unable to move and that all you could see was his eyes kind of darting around the room, and he had a real pale, straight face. Over his left breast clung a white square that was about 2 inches by 2 inches with a circle in the middle. When asked if he had any last words, he simply responded with, quote, "I do not know." A black hood was then slipped over his head. Five gunmen had lined up. Three had loaded guns, and then two had blanks. So no one, the men that were firing the guns, they don't know who they had.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they don't know who actually executed him. It was pretty quick. They, in unison shot all at once. Once shot, witnesses say that Ronnie started to clench and release his fists a couple times and kind of straighten his arm for what he could. I mean, he was in restraints. And then also he had the hood over his face, so you could see the bottom of his throat. And one witness said that the bottom of his throat kind of like looked rippled, kind of like he was clenching his jaw. About 2 minutes after he was executed, a man walked in and lifted the hood to check a pulse and then also to check his pupils for response. When the hood was lifted, Ronnie's mouth was wide open and his skin was pale. He was pronounced dead at 12:17 p.m. A quarter of a century on death row, 49-year-old Ronnie Lee Gardner became the first man to die by the fire squad in the state of Utah in 14 years, and he would be the last. And that's kind of all that I have for you this week.
That hood is so, like, just the thought of it, so creepy. I don't know why.
Like, over his face?
Yeah, I don't know why that part just really, like, gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, I don't, so I was, you know, this week's, you know, pretty short, pretty, I don't know if you want to consider it light, but it's lighter than, you know,
it's a different topic, things. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different topic.
More educational.
More educational. But I was, you know, I was over true crime last week and I saw a fun fact that, you know, said that it's been so many years since someone had been executed by the firing squad. And I was like, oh crap, I never thought about someone being executed by the firing squad. So then I looked it up and I was like, you know what? This is kind of interesting. It's a little light. So I'm going to talk about this instead.
Yeah, no, that's like definitely one like execution style that I completely forget that that was even a thing. Like I always forget about the firing squad because it's just not what you hear about.
Yeah. And honestly, I didn't even really realize that it was done. Like, yeah. So like they make it so like, you know, he's strapped down, he cannot move. You have the men come in and, you know, shoot him, and people were able to watch that. I mean, a lot of the articles and sources that I use, they were just journalists that were invited to be able to go see him be executed. And then I did kind of want to know, so he did have family, he had kids. And they weren't allowed to be in the room when he was executed. And of course,
I mean, that's fair.
Yes. Yeah. And of course, someone being executed by the firing squad, you know, is going to raise a lot of questions. So, you know, outside of the jailhouse, there were people that were protesting and his family was one of them. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I wanted to note was the family of the attorney that was murdered in the courthouse. They opposed the firing squad. They didn't want him to be executed that way.
Yeah, and you said he chose to be executed that way?
Yeah, so it was, from one of the sources that I saw was he essentially, it was either lethal injection or the firing squad, because the firing squad was still legal at that point. Okay. It was still an option. So he said, you know, I live by the gun, I'm going to die by the gun, that's what I want. Like, that was his request.
At least he chose it, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, he chose his own death.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought that was pretty interesting. I thought that it was, you know, light and.
Yeah, that is interesting.
I hope that you can still do your execution styles, you know, yeah. Episode.
Yep. So I made a note of every single one that you mentioned. So, cause I know that there's more.
Oh yeah. There's a ton.
Yeah. So I'm going to just avoid the ones that were on. Cause you didn't even mention like a few of the ones that I think are most interesting, which is good.
Okay.
So I made a note of all of the ones you did, so I know what not to do, and then I'll do this episode later.
Cool. I like it.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for this, Sid. This was fun.
Yeah. Well, I hope everyone else enjoyed it. Sorry that it was kind of a a short episode that we have this week. Next week will be better. This is totally my fault, not Megan's.
No, this was a good one.
I was having a rough patch with true crime, so this is what I have for you guys.
Hey, not every week can be super gnarly, you know? We got to keep it light sometimes.
Right.
Next week, like I said, as long as everything goes well in my research, it'll be light again, so. But it'll still be interesting, don't worry.
Little informational couple weeks for you guys. But yeah, if you do like this case, as always, share it. You know, rate us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. I already said this, but share it with your friends. And like we said last week, if there's any cases or anything that you guys are kind of interested in, don't be afraid to send it to us. We always like to hear what you guys like. And, you know, it kind of helps us make sure that we're giving you content and a show that you really enjoy.
Yeah, we would love to see some requests. We want to see what you guys want to hear, you know?
Exactly. And if you guys follow us on Instagram, you saw our post about a hoodie that Megan made for someone, which was kind of cool that, I don't know, are we saying who it was?
It was my brother, yeah.
It was her brother.
Who, I took his name out of it, so.
Who listens to the podcast almost every episode, I think, right?
Every single episode, yeah. And then he has a friend who is requesting a hoodie. So I have another one to make, and then I'm going to work on some stickers.
So big, exciting, fun things happening, and we really enjoy it. But that is all we have for you. And, of course, we don't have a tagline. So have a good week, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.